It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 576. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. The phone number is 240-949-2450, and that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeTechShow, facebook.com/MikeTechShow, and also check out the wiki. That is at mtswiki.com. There you'll find links to all of the past shows, the show notes. It's a great resource. I have, again, another jam-packed show, and this one, it's first a Google Apps serious problem with a client that I cannot solve, and I need your help. I'm going to talk about that first. Also, the lessons and how to avoid such a situation. Then, the rest of the show is Windows 10. I have multiple Windows 10 install stories. I have another story, literally as new as last night, when I was at a client and a new software upgrade to the whole office. And I had to visit all the workstations after the server was updated. Thank God only a couple of them were Windows 10, because what a nightmare. 100% of the emails in this week are all about Windows 10 from all of you. So I'm going to get to those, especially the new Never 10 app. A lot of you emailed me, so I have that. So before we get started, if you need a professional remote access software service, there's only one to choose from, and that's Instant House Call. I use it every single day. It has all the features you want. A feature I never talk about is putting notes for your individual session. And I've started doing this so I can go back in case I forget, what did I do on that last login for helping a client? You can put those notes in and go back at any time and get them. You also have the time that you spent remoting in. It's a great remote control service. You can download the trial for 15 days for free by going to instanthousecall.com, or use the link on my website at miketechshow.com on the left-hand side. Remember, when you download the trial, use the promo code MikeTechShow. I want to remind everybody to get your tickets before they're sold out for the Toronto Unconvention 2016. I will be speaking. There'll be lots of other great speakers. It's July 22nd to the 24th in Toronto, Canada. Links will be in the show notes, and you can purchase your ticket and get more information about the conference. The first story is about Google Apps. This Google App account was set up before I was the tech support for this client. I get a call today. The one person's email account has been suspended for suspicious activity by Google. I've seen this before. So all we have to do is the admin, we got to log in as the admin account, and go through the process of resetting the account. Sometimes it takes 24 hours or more, but the first thing we do is we change the password. Well, this person is the one who set it up and is the admin. It's the free Google Apps, so they are not allowed tech support. When they call tech support, they have to have a PIN. If they don't have a PIN, they're disconnected. Well, the free Google Apps does not have a PIN. When you go through the process, and here's the catch-22, to restore a suspended account, you get an option to make a change to your DNS record, a CNAME that they will give you, and you can prove who you are, and within 72 hours, the account will be unsuspended. Well, they bought the domain at Google Apps, and you can only manage it through the Google Apps account. So now we can't even change the MX records if I wanted to move them to a new email provider. This is a terrible catch-22. The one thing that we've done late this afternoon is send an email to Google support from the alternative email that this person used when setting up the account. We explained the situation and asked for guidance. How do you get Google to reset or even allow another one of the accounts to be an admin? I don't even know how we can make that happen. There's only three accounts on this domain, and the one admin account is the one that cannot log in. They can't change their password. They can't make any changes to the DNS, and we can't contact Google support. I need help. I'm adding this solution to the podcast. It's Friday evening, and the problem's being resolved. Here's how I solved it for the Google Apps issue. I posted the problem in the Google for Works forum online and got two great responses. First, there's a website that you need to go to. This will not be in the show notes, and it's only for you who are listening to the podcast. It's https://support.google.com/a/contact COnTACT /admin_no_access. So support.google.com/a/contact/admin_no_access. Fill out that form, submit it, and get a ticket number. Then call the following phone number, 866-628-1366. Click option 1 for support, then option 2 for no PIN. Give them the ticket number because you're going to get an automatic response back with a ticket number. You will get a human being who can help you through the process. There will be one more form that you have to fill out, and they will reset the password for the admin account when you are completely locked out of the free Google Apps. The lesson here, never have a single admin. When I've set up Google Apps for clients, I always create an account for me, make me an admin, and then one of the owners or one of the principals make them an admin. So we have multiple admins. Even when I create accounts on ShareWeb, we have a default user account that automatically is an admin when you set it up. Then I deputize someone else as an admin. You got to have multiple admins, whatever you do. Another lesson here. Never have all of your eggs in one basket for the Holy Trinity, the email, domain registration, website hosting. I know you can get great packages with GoDaddy for that. I like to use GoDaddy and Network Solutions for registering the domain. But have your hosting somewhere else. Have your email somewhere else. Do not have all three together for this situation. Because what if we got to make a change to the DNS to recover the email? Or we want to change the email. We want to change who the service provider is. Lots of important admin lessons here. I wish I was part of setting up that account and I would have utilized my setup procedures and we wouldn't be in this situation. Sure, the account would have been suspended, but it would have only been at worst 24 hours and we could have made the correction. Or even if their DNS was hosted somewhere else, I could have quickly set up ShareWeb and migrated their email, which I'd prefer them to be hosted Exchange anyway, as opposed to, quote, free email. Remember, free is free, and that's a problem. And I'm going to quote the GoDaddy tech support when the business business clients had major problems with the free email. To quote the tech from GoDaddy. Wish I had a recording of this. Well, what do you expect for free? End quote. Big lesson there. let's move on to Windows 10. Oh, what fun. We have a laptop, an older laptop that my son, my oldest son, inherited that's been in a closet for a year. I really want him to play with Windows 10 because the laptop I provided him for support in working for me full time, it's got to be Windows 7 and it's Windows 7 Pro. I need him to play with Windows 10. So I said, you know what, bring that laptop over and let's put an SSD in there. And it's an old HP Pavilion. And we pop out the drive, we put the SSD in. And as a matter of fact, I said, let's install Windows 7 from scratch. Then let's update it and then upgrade it to Windows 10. Then blow it away and do a Windows 10 from scratch. So there's a lot of lessons here for my son to go through all of this. So we install Windows 7 from scratch, no problem. But at first, I don't activate it. So I figure we got 3 days. We can go through the activation process. We have the key. It's on the bottom of the laptop. Well, checking for updates, which we knew there'd be a lot from a scratch system, we check for updates, no joy. Cannot get any updates. It's checking and checking forever. As a matter of fact, we let it run overnight. I then read, you should really do sure you activate Windows. Activate it clean. Checking for updates, it checks forever. I go to Microsoft Fix It for fixing Windows update, run it, still just spins and spins and spins. To cut to the chase, when you're checking for updates and there's a problem, the solution is a link that I am going to put in the chat that has lots of suggestions. And the one suggestion that actually fixed this and allowed you to update, you have to update the Windows Update client. There is a very particular knowledge base article, 313-5445. When you download that, make sure you've done a fresh reboot and you already stopped checking, because if you haven't stopped Windows Update from checking, you have to kill the WUAUSERV service in Task Manager. Then this program will work. Once I ran that, the 213 updates came down. So now I try to install Windows 10. I tried to update it directly from the update from the Media Manager. Nope, won't happen. You know what I didn't do after the 213 updates? I realized I checked. There was another 35 updates. Did those 35 updates. Then let's check again and make sure we got all the updates applied before we try to upgrade to Windows 10. Go check. There's another 27. It is unbelievable. Once they are all done, the Windows 10 upgrade goes like clockwork and goes smooth. The lesson, no matter what OS you're at, if you're going to do the in-place upgrade, you have to make sure all of the updates are applied. You have to make sure your Windows is properly activated and genuine. Do that with all the updates. Just keep running updates until there are no more. Then go through the Windows 10 procedure. Updates hangs a lot, and the article that I have in the show notes is a great article reviewing all of the possible scenarios for solving stuck on checking for updates. So now, how about an update on my Surface Pro 3 that was a brick? I haven't called Microsoft back. I really haven't had the time, and I really have to because I want to get resolution, but it was bothering me that I couldn't install Windows 10 from my USB stick. And I have another great article from Microsoft describing what to do to boot from a USB stick. And there's lots of things you have to do. It's not just inserting the USB stick. You have to go to the BIOS and turn off secure boot, and then change the boot options to make sure you're booting from a USB instead of the SSD. I do that, and I still don't get a boot from, I know, a known good Windows 10 USB that I created with the Windows 10 Media Creation Manager. I forgot to remove the SD card in the back of the Surface Pro 3. I read online, even though you tell it to boot from the USB, if there's any other device or any other drive or anything connected, it'll try to boot from there whether you want to or not. Once I pulled the SD card out, I booted and I got my menu. Is it 64 or 32-bit? Once I picked 64, it went through perfectly, beautifully. I now have Windows 10 running on my Surface Pro, but the battery doesn't work that's inside. Because when you take off the power cord, it just shuts down. So I'm still stuck with the initial problem, but I do have a usable computer. Now, in investigating online, if they're not going to make good on this and replace it for me, I went to look what it would take to put a new battery in. Microsoft charges the same. Whether they're putting a battery in or replacing the unit, they're charging $450. Now, I read somewheres where they will charge $200. I'm actually going to take the time one evening and go to the Microsoft store at the King of Prussia Mall and talk to a manager, bring my ticket number with me and see what they can do. At worst, I should only have to pay for a battery upgrade, and I will pay up to $200 on a battery, which I still think is ridiculous, but I would pay that. But paying $450 for the battery is just ludicrous. I'll keep you posted on the rest of that, but I really, what was important is the process of booting from a Windows 10 USB stick. You got to make sure the BIOS is set correctly. And just to be safe, anytime you're doing an operating system upgrade or change, disconnect all drives that are not pertinent. Any kind of SDs or other USB connected, disconnect them, so they don't get into the way of the install. One more story. Last night at my biggest client, I had to perform a production database manufacturing ERP update. The ERP system runs the whole plant and the processing for all the functions throughout the whole company, from accounts payable, accounts receivable, bills of materials, manufacturing, you name it. Payroll, HR, time and attendance. The day before, I took the test database, worked with the software manufacturer, and we did a complete update just to make sure there's no errors and everything was fine. So last night, we went through the production upgrade. But one of the things we had to do after the server was upgraded, we had to visit every single workstation to redo the client. The majority of the systems are Windows 7, and that client install went beautiful. But there are three Windows 10. As a matter of fact, all three of them are laptops. One of them's mine. And then we have the sales manager and then someone else, Windows 10. I did everything. One thing I did learn, and I'm going to post an article on how to do this. When you need to disable the user access control, the UAC, if you need to disable that, just moving that slider bar doesn't do it on Windows 8 and Windows 10. You have to make a registry entry. And that's H key, local machine, software, Microsoft, Windows, current version, policies, system. And enable LUA has to be set to 0. I moved that bar, rebooted, and do you know that registry key was still set to 1? I made that registry key because I know that would help me. Again, ran into this obscure error when I try to launch the program after a successful install. So it's getting late last night, and I contact their tech support. The tech support, even though they're on the West Coast, they're already closed because it's after 9 o'clock on Eastern time. So I open up a ticket, and I know there's an answer because I'm getting the same error on three different systems, and they all happen to be Windows 10. So this morning, I get the response from tech support. 2 pages of registry entries and permission edits and directories and permissions. Unbelievable. 2 pages of what I got to go through before I can reinstall the client. Unexpected. I thought the solution was going to be a little easier. Maybe a couple registry keys, but I'm not going to share those 2 pages with you because it's only good for if you're running this software. And I guess the point of it is, if you have Windows 10 and you're doing something else, something new, something different, make sure you investigate with the software manufacturer or whatever you're trying to do and make sure, A, that there's Windows 10 support, and B, what hoops do you have to go through to make it work, if possible, like here. So now I'm armed, now I'm ready. Now I have a process. I could probably script it and make it easy to do. I probably will. And then just a couple add-ins to the registry that can make the changes. And then I could run a script for changing all the different directory permissions. Once I get that all automated, then this is going to be an easy process for any future Windows 10s where I got to update it. Another lesson. Love these lessons. Let's get to, and I'm not kidding, every single email received this week to the Mike Tech Show is about Windows 10. Let's begin. I got to start out with this one because this one's funny. This is from Kevin. After listening to all the problems you've been having with Windows 10 and Microsoft lately, it sounds like you're about ready to meet my friend Linux. Just kidding. I know this wouldn't be an option for a lot of your business clients, but Windows 10 has made me give up Windows for all but a DVR device and a few games on Steam. Take care, and thanks for the show. Kevin, that was awesome. Put a smile on my face. This is Roger. I'm following up on a couple questions you had of me when reading my email last week about the Windows 10 login screen issue. This is where a wonderful Western Digital hard drive serial number displays every time I boot up. The answer to the first question is yes, I am running as a local administrator. I knew he was, but I just had to ask. The answer to the second question, does it affect the login screen when I make the setting change, is also yes. It does change the background for the login screen. So apparently, it's doing its job there, but has no effect on somehow displaying an image just before that. When I boot up, the image just sits there until I click on it, and then I get the login screen. Not much info out there on that, and it's driving me nuts, at least the fact I can't solve it. Have some possible solutions here. This is from Jim, the pre-login screen picture change. The pre-login screen is slightly different from the lock screen, but you must change the lock screen picture to change the pre-login screen. Note, if you have multiple user accounts on the PC, the lock screen picture can be different for each user. The pre-login screen seems to show the selected picture from the user account that was last used before shutdown. Confusing, but that is Microsoft, to change the picture. In the Windows 10 search box, type in lock screen settings, no quotes, but do not press enter. Find the best match result, lock screen settings, and click it. Pick a predefined picture or browse to find a custom picture on the PC. Note screen before login screen. Alternate path is start key, settings, personalization, lock screen. I really hope that helps. Kevin, thank you for taking the time to outline that. This is a comment from Tyler on this. It's tied to the ID login to mail.live.com, then change the profile picture. Thank you. Lots of email. I want to thank everybody who sent me emails on Steve Gibson's new Never 10. This is a program written by Steve to stop Windows 10 from installing. And I'm going to have the link from GRC in the show notes. Now, this replaces or is in place of our GWX control panel. One thing I got to admit about Never 10 is it's lean, it's simple. He's using the Microsoft supported registry entries that need to be changed to stop Windows 10. And it's so tiny, requires no installation as any utility that Steve Gibson writes. He is an incredible programmer in assembly language. His programs are short, fast, concise, and very, very good. Highly recommend Never 10. And I want to thank Alex, who also put the Twit Security Now episode and sent me that link. And I'm going to put that in the show notes. So if you want to see that particular show, also Edgar, I want to thank Jalfred, Zrinko, and I'll tell you what, there was a bunch more I didn't even print out. There are so many people who wrote in who've seen that about Never 10, and I thank you and always do that to keep me up to date and informed, because I didn't know about it and I wouldn't have known about it if you didn't tell me. Thank you, and now I'm sharing it with the rest of you. This is from Jim, and he has a good point here. You've been speaking a lot lately of GWX control panel. I do as well. I was thinking the other day how many PCs I've installed it on and how I encourage others to use it. Very few of those people will donate to the cause, so I made a $10 donation to Josh at ultimateoutsider.com. We all rave about what a great program and labor saver it is, but we really need to support him to show our appreciation. Keep up the good work. That link will be in the show notes. Show your support. Give him a couple dollars for supporting that great software. I want to thank, again, Mike Cooley, who's Taz Cools in the chat, and MB Systems Inc., Marvin B., for putting me onto that utility. Isn't it wonderful? We have a problem with Windows 10 being pushed down our throats, and we got great programmers stepping up, providing such a valuable utilities. That's awesome. Final email from Terry in Arizona. He has another Dell computer that he tried to upgrade to Windows 10, but the system doesn't support it. As the attached screen snip shows, Dell does not have Windows 10 drivers for this computer. The owner's nephew installed Windows 10. It looks like Windows 10 was installed last week. The nephew might have done an install versus an upgrade. Recovery options do not allow a rollback to Windows 7. I will have to install Windows 7 from the Dell installation media. Thanks again for all you do. Now remember, you have to check all of your drivers to see if you have Windows 10 support for all of your hardware before you try to upgrade. You don't want to learn this after the fact, because it does cause a lot of trouble. And Terry's been running into several systems that they don't support Windows 10, but yet they're running Windows 7. And that's an issue. So that's a system that just will never upgrade. And you'll block Windows 10 after he gets Windows 7 all installed, and he'll run it out to its course on Windows 7 and just buy a new computer when the time comes. That's going to be the options for some people who just cannot run Windows 10. There was a moment I thought that was going to happen on my son's HP Pavilion, because we were talking about what do we do if we can't. And I said, you know what, this system's so old, let's just scrap it. But finally got Windows 7 installed, did all the updates, got Windows 10. Windows 10's working. Now my son has a laptop from a good friend of his that he cloned the disk and put an SSD in. We found some extra memory, and he's having trouble updating Windows 7. Now, he didn't install Windows 7 from scratch yet, but that's something that's next on his list, but he can't get the updates to go. So he's going to try all of the things that I actually talked about tonight. I told him, I said, this is a very critical show that you want to listen to. on doing the Windows 7 updates and trying to fix it so he can fix his friend's computer. And at the same time, he will learn a lot that he can bring to the table in helping my consulting business as we go forth. That's it for tonight's show. Remember, if you are purchasing anything from Amazon or know anybody that uses Amazon, use my link, amazon.micnation.net. Your price stays the same. A small commission comes back to support the show. I really appreciate it. Again, support the affiliates and my sponsor, Instant House Call at instanthousecall.com. Fabs Auto Backup 6 Pro. Love it. Love it. Great program for moving the settings. And then, of course, TechSite Builder website. I'm going to have a link in the show notes. A great job if you need to be step-by-step guided in building your tech repair website. Great, great, great service. Also, Tech Nibbles Business Computer Repair Kit version 3. Great kit of all of the forms and utilities that you would need for your business. Excellent, excellent. I want to thank everybody for staying subscribed and downloading the show. I really appreciate it. Be back next week, same time, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.